This episode of Cognitive Dissonance is brought to you by our patrons. You fucking rock. Be advised that this show is not for children, the faint of heart, or the easily offended. The explicit tag is there for a reason.
Recording live from Glory Hole Studios in Chicago and beyond, this is Cognitive Dissonance. Every episode we blast anyone who gets in our way. We bring critical thinking, skepticism, and irreverence to any topic that makes the news, makes it big, or makes us mad. It's skeptical, it's political, and there is no welcome mat. Today is whatever day you're listening to this at.
I can't keep track of this shit. The problem is it jumps a month. And if it jumps a month, it'll be, I think it should be
releasing. I have to get out a calendar.
It's releasing, I think, on the 2nd of, no, pardon me, not the 2nd, the 5th of October.
We need to get a calendar.
Today is the 5th of October, and a tortoise escaped from Pennsylvania vet clinic. Not once, not twice. Three times. A one, a two, a three.
I love this story.
Because it wanted to get to the bottom of how many licks are at the bottom of the fucking Tootsie Roll Pop.
It's still on the loose.
It's like that guy who humped his way up over the fucking gate. That guy. And he was just gone for like a week. He's just running around. And they got the fucking, they got the guy who's like, I want every outhouse, doghouse, cockhouse, asshouse. I want them all. They got that guy out there. And he's still running fugitive, running circles around him. And then they finally catch him. This turtle's still at large.
Still going. How do you lose a fucking tortoise?
It's going to get to the end before the hair. That's for sure. No matter how you got it.
Can you imagine boarding your dog at this vet clinic? And you're like, you can't keep track of a fucking turtle.
Wouldn't it be amazing, though?
I have a border collie.
Wouldn't it be amazing, though, if you come back and they're like, sorry, your dog was riding the turtle and it left.
Can you imagine if it was your turtle? And they're like, yeah, here's the thing. It's really kind of awkward. He escaped.
Your turtle? Very fast.
I only turned my back for 4 hours and he was gone.
Very, very quick.
What do you lose a tortoise?
It's not that he's quick. He's just crafty. he just jukes real well. You think the turtle's going away. It's like, whoa, he's going another way. That turtle's just moving.
The thing is, they couldn't find him because then he was floating over a river, but he had a scorpion on his back and it was like a whole thing.
And when you find him, you have to jump on him and you shoot his shell.
Maybe he was one of those. Maybe he had the wings. Maybe
he had the wings. The wings. The Koopa.
Okay.
There you go.
So there you go. Now I feel stupid.
All makes sense now.
Yeah.
Makes sense now. It's all jumping in the air and shit. Now we know how he got over the fence.
For the third time. You can't like tortoise proof your fucking vet clinic. What do you have to do to tortoise proof something?
I don't know, man.
Close the door slowly.
Really slowly.
What the fuck? It's a tortoise. And now people are going to write in and be like, actually, they could be surprisingly. No, they can't. No, man. No. No.
Oh, man.
It's the Chevy Spark of animals. You know what I mean? It doesn't do anything quickly.
The tortoise. The Chevy Spark of animals. They're so mad. There's so many tortoises typing so slowly right now, Tom.
You insulted me. We're going to get a fucking email from somebody. Hey, I got a Chevy Spark. Yeah, all right. Drive over here. I'll wait. Yeah. It's called a spark. It only takes one to blow it up. All right. I'm just reading this whole thing.
Well, it's short.
First of all, this comes from The Mainichi, Japan's national daily since 1922. I don't know. All right, guys?
I was going to say it was called The Mankini, but that's
okay.
Fine.
Okay. It's from The Mankini. Police warn of 20 naked, garter-wearing men spotted in Fukuoka. I don't know how this is pronounced. I wasn't trying to pronounce it Fukuoka.
But now
Fukuoka?
But now it's a thing. Anyway.
Okay. All right. In Poopoo Kaka suburb or whatever. I don't know how it's Fukuoka. Fukuoka, I'm gonna say.
Sure.
All right. So police in Fukuoka Prefecture on September the 24th issued a prefecture-wide email warning regarding a group of suspicious men. I love that the police just email everyone in town.
Send out an email
distribution
bulletin.
List to the whole fucking prefecture.
Dudes naked with garters.
Regarding a group of suspicious men wearing a skimpy item of lingerie or nothing at all seen in the city of Koga the previous
nothing
day.
Nothing at all.
Do you think that's what made them suspicious or is something else suspicious?
They were like kind of hiding behind something and their eyes were leaning out like the neighborhood watch sign or something. They're just kind of leaning over.
Is there ever a time that 20 naked dudes wearing lingerie isn't suspicious?
It feels suspicious to me.
That's always suspicious.
Okay, so there's a murder of crows. What do you call 20 dudes?
A garter of naked guys. It's a garter. It's a garter of dudes.
Naked dudes.
According to Fukuoka Prefectural Police's Kasuwa Police Station and the crime prevention email, about 10 of the men were completely naked, okay. And about 10 were wearing garter belts. They were playing garters versus skins, Cecil.
They were playing basketball with their Magic Johnsons hanging out.
There's a lot of dribbling going on.
They're just out there. There we go. Oh, man.
Between the legs. Oh, God. Oh, that was a bad
call.
Where
is he spinning the ball? That's weird. Dude, crazy.
The station, this is my favorite. This is their advice. This feels like peak Japan from what we're covering the show. The station is advising residents to take personal safety measures such as shouting loudly if they spot suspicious people.
And all the Japanese people are horrified because they would never do that. They're like, how dare you?
Right?
I won't disturb the peace.
I love
even to save myself from 20 gartered naked men.
I have no idea what the fuck I would do if I was just like doing literally anything. I don't care. Like going to the grocery store, going to get the mail, walking out my driveway, and they're like looking at my Ring cam, you know, whatever. And there's just a dozen and a half plus two naked dudes.
Have you ever seen a naked person in public ever?
No, never. Have you?
Never in public. No, I have seen a naked person.
What? Was it you?
No. So I think it was someone who was having an attack.
Oh, no.
They were having some sort of episode.
Like breakdown?
They were like a little kid.
Oh, I've seen a little kid.
Not like a little kid.
Oh,
this is like a tween.
That sounded weird when I was like, I've seen a little kid. But
a teen-ish age, tall, like tall kid who was completely naked. I was at a bowling alley, of all places.
That is so weird.
And I was by the arc. Throughout all my childhood.
Were you in their bad dream, perchance? Like,
it's possible. It's very possible. I was the guy in their dream. They were naked, and I was the club right. Being like, why are you naked?
Now, did they have to take a math test?
Did they accidentally forget their locker combination? No, but I was, throughout all my childhood and, you know, young adult life, whenever my friends wanted to go places, very often I'm like, not as social, right? So they were always very social guys and I was not as social. I've just always been that way. And so when they would go places to do the social things, to meet other people, I would very often go to like a video game and like play a video game.
Sure.
Like that's the kind of what I would do. So with the pool hall where they would go to play pool and then talk to the table next to them and then, you know, whatever.
Yeah, meet girls.
I would most of the time just be like, I'll be over at Mortal Kombat. And I just like play all night on
be finishing him.
And go do that. And then I do the same thing at the bowling alley. Cause again, bowling alley is sort of set up so that you're it's a social place where you talk to the people most of the time, at least during the times where we would go, where the same ages of people would be there. So you would look and talk to those people. And I would of course come back. I wasn't totally antisocial, but I would lots of times just be bored. I'd be sitting there. I don't want to bowl. I'm going to go play. So I was by the video games. Long story short, I'm by the video games. And there's a kid who's like buck ass naked.
What the what?
And I'm at this point maybe 18, 19, and this kid's maybe 15, 14. Not so young. Not a kid. Right. I was a kid too at the time, but a kid. And he just like runs by. And then I see his mom running after him with a towel to like cover him up. I don't know if he was there and just had an episode and took all his clothes off, but I have seen one person naked in person one time.
So the other day, this reminded me, just maybe 2-3 weeks ago, I was driving home from the bike trail that I, so I drive my car to this like southern trailhead that's in this like town center. And there's a whole bunch of parking spaces that you can get, you know, for people that are going to go walk the trail or bike the trail. Yeah. And it's by this like big, like, you know, park area. And so there's a lot of families and kids and stuff. And seriously, 2 or 3 weeks ago, the other day, standing at the corner, getting ready to cross the street, walking toward the park, there's a presumably, I hope, a dad holding a kid's hand. The kid's maybe 3 and they're waiting for traffic to, so they can walk across the street, and the kid's buck ass naked. And I don't know what the story is there. Like, I don't know if the kid
he had to get out or something.
Shit himself
Nobody
or something.
Nobody takes somebody like that.
But yeah. He was just standing there holding his kid's hand at a stop sign waiting to cross the street. And the kid was just buck ass naked. It was weird, man.
So here's the other thing too. Like, I've been at like social functions with people and like little kids have been naked and like running around. And that's weird to me.
It is super weird.
Like, they had a pool at somebody's house, like one of those little kiddie pools.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a bunch of kids and they all just got naked and jumped in. They were all cousins or whatever. But I'm an adult and I'm there. And I'm like, I don't want to see your naked six-year-old
kid. Yeah.
Like running around and maybe that's just me, right? Maybe it's something wrong with me. I don't know. But for me, a child-free person to be around naked children is uncomfortable.
It's weird
because I'm not a guy who's around children ever.
Right. Naked kids.
So let alone naked children. It's very uncomfortable.
When I was camping once in Pennsylvania, and the place that I was camping at had these natural water slides that were like, you know, the river like cut through this like limestone or whatever. And so they were really smooth. And so you could get in the water and like ride them like a water slide. And so I was there and there was like a family that was there and the kids were swimming in these, going in these like pools and stuff. They weren't going on the water slidey things, but they were swimming in these like pool areas and the kids were just naked and it was a public space and there was like lots of people around.
Weird. That's strange.
And I was like,
that's strange to me.
Yeah, man, that felt weird. That's like, I don't know you.
Yeah.
You don't know me. Why's your fucking kid got his fucking pants off? That's weird. Put your pants on or bring a swimsuit. Like, did you?
That's
you
weird.
Surprised?
To me. That's weird to me.
You had a hike to get here.
Yeah,
this didn't surprise you.
You didn't come across this by chance. Yeah,
it was weird.
Yeah,
man.
That's very strange.
But I would shout.
I would shout too.
I would shout.
If I saw
a garter
one
naked
or 20 naked guys, I would definitely shout.
I would shout, especially if half of them were dressed up like Rocky Horror Picture or whatever the fuck was going on. All right, this story is from ABC7 Eyewitness News. That's local. Shirtless suspect leads LA police on bizarre slow speed chase in golf cart with dog in lap. And there's video.
All right. So we're going to watch the video. I'm not going to play the sound. We're just going to play the video. And Tom and I are going to describe. So what you're seeing is an actual camera phone or a camera pointed at a guy who's just driving down in the middle of the road. He's got police chasing him. You could see the flashing lights. He's got the dog in his lap and the dog is just loving life.
And he's steering with one hand.
They try to throw the spike strap underneath him and he drives at the people. They try to throw it and they fucked it up. They messed up. They didn't actually throw the spike trap underneath the tires. And then they finally apprehend him and they take the dog, and the dog was a good boy. So the dog was a very good boy. 10 out of 10 for the dog. But the dude, 0 out of 10 for putting the dog in danger. That's all I'm saying.
How do you think, what is going through your head that you're like, I bet I can outrun him in this golf cart? It's 19 miles an hour. 19 miles an hour. Now, granted, I can't run 19 miles an hour. But I can idle a car at 19 miles an hour. When the police show up in a car, you're pretty much boned.
I think, like, I'm happy because here's the thing, man. Almost 100% of the time, cops walk in and shoot a fucking dog.
Oh, I know.
So
I am
super happy that they took this guy without running him off the road, smashing him, and shooting the dog.
100%, dude.
Because, man, all of those things could have happened where they literally, because they,
we're talking, pit maneuver.
We're talking about that woman, the pregnant woman, going over a bridge, didn't even have time to pull over because there's no shoulder, and she got pitted on a bridge, man.
Yep.
A pregnant, so like,
the cops being underzealous for once.
Yeah, man.
That's a fucking heaven. That's from heaven. That is manna from heaven.
I will. You're 100% having a silly story where the cops just look like Keystone cops and they didn't like pull their gun out and shoot him.
Try to choke the guy or kill him or tase his balls. And then they didn't like shoot the fucking dog because that happens so much. Often, man. There's so many stories of dogs, just like happy dogs that are not menacing, just getting murdered by the police because they're fucking psychopaths sometimes with guns, because there's nothing stopping a psychopath from getting that job.
Nothing at all.
And so
nothing at all.
It's crazy to me that makes me so incensed every time I hear a story like that. Just thinking of your pet getting killed like that is just so infuriating, and they just get away with it. They just 100% get away with it.
And a lot of times, like, I know this is the funny show, but like a lot of times that happens and then it's like, okay, well, you know, nothing to see here, and they let you go.
They let you go.
And you're just like, what the fuck, man? You like, came in here and you fucking put a bullet in my buddy.
Yeah.
Like, what? This is the funny show. But like, it's fucked up.
Yeah.
So yeah, like having a thing where the guy like runs away from the cops with his fucking puppy on his lap and the cops like run around, and then the guy didn't even look beat up.
The guy looked fine. I know he's white, but he's probably because he's white. But still, he looked fine. Yeah. He's also in a golf cart, so they thought he was affluent. Right. So they're like, we don't want to fuck this guy up. We'll get sued or whatever. Lose some money.
What a weird story that guy has.
I know.
Okay, so I got a little drunk, I got a little high, I got a little bit of both.
Straight out of Grand Theft Auto.
It is.
Where he's like, you know what? I did hijack this car, but I'm going to switch it real quick in the options to turn it into the golf cart and drive around in it.
This story comes from Greek reporter. Herd of sheep eat 100 kilograms of cannabis in Greece.
You know what they did with them right afterwards? They shipped them to New York to sell them at that restaurant that Noah goes to. You'd have lamb chops laced with THC or whatever.
What happens, Cecil, when your food gets the munchies?
They just keep eating and eating and eating. This is an interesting question. I know for cannabis, like just eating like the plant itself is not where the THC is concentrated, right? So it's like in the buds of the plant. So it's the things that are going to be the reproductive portion of the plant is where I think that most of the THC is concentrated. So let's just say that they had a whole bushel of just buds and they ate them. Would that lace the meat with THC?
If you ate it,
like, let's just say, it's apocalypse mutton. And you had to eat Noah. Would he get you high is what I'm asking. If you crush Noah up and you smoked him.
You could snort Noah. Are you kidding me? Noah?
Would you get high if you crush Noah up and then snorted him? That's my question. I don't know. I'm leaning towards yeah.
I don't know. Could you have mutton edibles?
I want mutton flavored edibles. And then you put like, you mix them with like a mint one. So you take like a mutton one and then you take a mint one. And it's like when you eat like two jelly beans and they make a flavor or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, I got strawberry lemonade.
And then you like, you take mutton and yogurt and bread and you have like a gyro.
I've got this whole savory situation covered.
Oh man, it's so good.
What the fuck?
Yeah, but evidently like, they had some really bad, like it's not a super funny story because like they had bad floods and they lost a bunch of vegetation. And so they wandered into an area and just ate a bunch of cannabis because that was what was available to them to eat. And they said that they got high off it though.
Oh yeah.
They did say that they got high off of it.
Yeah.
So
everybody's had that shitheld friend who has like ripped a bong and like blown it at their cat or dog.
Okay.
And gotten their dog high. So I know like a lot of other animals have cannabinoid receptors in their brains and get high.
Yeah.
So that's not surprising. It's just, dude, that's a lot of fucking weed, man.
That's a lot of
weed. That's 224 pounds of weed.
I wonder if they were afraid to call the delivery man.
Hard relate.
Because it felt like you ate about 200 pounds of it when you were afraid to call the delivery man.
Oh yeah, man. I had 30 milligrams. 30 milligrams of THC in a gummies in gummies space with over with like an hour.
Yeah.
And I never want that experience again. Yeah. Like never. The next time I have that experience will be
I had to. Sarah is notoriously bad at edibles too. She does when she does edibles, she's done it a couple times. She always does what you do, which is you take an edible, then you don't feel anything until you take another, and then you don't feel anything and you take a third one and the first one starts to kick in.
Right. And then you're
so
fucked.
Then you're like, okay. And then there's like a where you're like, well, this is all right. And then you're like, but this isn't. And it starts getting to be not. And I had to like basically carry Sarah inside from a party one time because she took there were brownies, I think, that she brought with.
I've gotten
had some of that, and it was just really
too
intense.
Much.
Yeah, really
too
intense. Much. And so that's happened a couple times where it's you know just you it's just hard to regulate. It's just hard. What you gotta do is you just gotta be like, I'm doing this. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
Yeah,
that's it. That's
exactly
it. This
right.
is it. This is what I'm doing. Period. That's it.
Yep.
And you gotta be able to stick to it.
Yeah. The problem I it's funny because I didn't know. Anything about, I'm not a pot guy at all. And like my buddy Matt was hanging out with us once. And so it was like my buddy Matt and my buddy TJ and myself. And I don't remember who had it or how we got it, but he had like this chocolate bar. So think of like a Hershey's chocolate bar segmented into those pieces. Yeah, yeah. And every piece was like a dose. And Matt ate the whole chocolate bar.
What?
Because he didn't know. We didn't know. We didn't know anything about this. Like, this was before, like, it was legal here, before there's dispensaries.
What happened to him?
He was insanely fucked up. Like, he was, and we like to the point where, like, he wasn't having fun and we didn't think it was funny either. He was just miserable and we could tell he was miserable. And, like, I didn't carry him, but, like, I guided him. He was staying at my house. I guided him up the stairs. He couldn't figure out how to work the doorknob. I mean, legitimately. Like, I had to, like, pour this grown-ass man into bed and make sure he was all right. Like, that dude was, like, beside himself.
How long does it take to wear off?
I don't know. He had to go home on a flight the next day. And he was fucked up in the airport. Like, he was better. But the next day, he was still texting me. He's like, dude, I am still fucked up on this flight. So, like, yeah, he got, like, unpleasant. That stuff can get, like, real unpleasant, real fat. He ate the whole candy bar. And we thought we were like, oh, let's
how many doses was it? Like 20?
I think it was like, I don't know. I don't even know. I don't remember. It was
so
more
regular,
than 12.
A regular Hershey's nowadays, they're split up into 16 segments. So
Jesus Christ. So maybe
doses.
He took, I don't know. Like,
wow.
Maybe he took 16 doses. I know he ate the whole candy bar.
Jesus.
So like, and I didn't know. We like, I was looking at the wrapper. I'm like, you're supposed to have like a bite. But that I think is the problem with like, fat guys and edibles. I don't want one gummy bear.
Nobody eats one gummy bear.
What am I going to do with one
That's
gummy bear?
That's the thing, though, is you've got to pay somebody to put it in your gummy bears and then just walk away. Be like, put one dose in my gummy bear.
Right.
And then so you're just eating gummy bears and then you just come across one. You
and
eat
one
it,
of them
like,
was
oh,
the pot gummy
there
bear.
You go.
Like,
okay.
Yeah.
I ate all the gummy bears. That was destined to happen.
When you make it, can you imagine if there was pot ice cream? I'd be like, great. I had a pint of pot. Ice cream only comes in pint-sized servings.
Yeah, I know.
I would be dead. I would be dead. It would somehow kill me. I'd be the only person that died of fucking THC overdose.
I'd be covered in half gallons of pot.
Can you die of chubby hubby? All right,
if you get trapped
hubby.
Underneath them.
This story comes from KTV 13 News. Ohio man charged for reporting fake bear attack to get out of Kanawha County woods. So this is someplace in West Virginia. He's a guy from Ohio. He's hiking out in the woods.
Yeah.
He gets lost. He calls first responders. And for some reason, it did not occur to him to be in enough danger of just being lost in the woods and asking for help. Instead, he made up this story of like bears circling him like sharks.
All right. Here's what this is, Tom.
Yeah.
This is toxic masculinity. That's
oh,
what
shit.
It is.
Is it really?
That's what it is,
he
man.
He didn't want to like ask
Come
for
on.
Directions.
He didn't want to ask for help. Somebody didn't want to ask for help without it being dire. They felt like they would
Fuck
be
that.
they would be ridiculed or whatever. And so that they decided to be like, but there's a bear here.
You've got to ask for help before the Blair Witch shows up. You start seeing, otherwise
Blair
you can see
makes
like
you stand in the corner.
Sticks and shit. Yeah. And then I don't know what happens. It's just like the camera goes
And
black.
Then I get a little queasy.
Yeah.
Like right. I ate too many edibles.
If night goes down and you're stuck in the woods, yeah, right. There's the sticks, you know, stones stacked on each other and sticks in the shape of like, you know, crosses or fucking whatever. And then everything goes tits up.
And then a bunch of little kids touch the outside of your tent.
Right. Freaks you out. And you're just like, ah, your boogers are all running in the flashlights. I don't want that. That's not the world I'm looking to live in. Fuck that. Dude, if I got lost in the woods, I'd be like, I'm fucking lost in the woods. Come find me. I wouldn't hesitate, man. I wouldn't. My masculinity would not be threatened by that at all.
I don't know that I've ever been lost, where I've been nervous about where I was. Like, I didn't know where I'd... Because that's got to be genuinely terrifying.
I went off trail and Starved Rock and got lost for a couple of hours.
Did you really?
Yeah. But, like, it's still Starved Rock.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard. It was hard for me. Starved Rock is just, like, a state park in Illinois.
Yeah, and it's a big state park, but there's a lot of... very, very wide and publicly used trails.
Right. And like there are also roads that go through it. So at some point it's just like, I'm just going to walk and I'll find a road.
Yeah.
And I did. I walked, I found a road and I was like, all right, well now I don't know where I'm at, but I'm at a road.
Yeah.
So then I walked until I got to an intersection and I was like, okay, well, you know, now I'm somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. I would be scared if I was lost.
I've never been in the only place I was ever at that was like away from everything, out in the middle of nowhere, was when I went on a camping trip with my brothers to the boundary waters between United States and Canada. And you take a canoe on your back and you just go into the boundary waters, right? Well, they give you a map.
Right.
And you just know where you're at. And like everybody that I was with knew how to read that map. We understood how the map worked and we knew where we were. We would look at the map and be like, okay, well, we came through here. We know where we're at. And we were always constantly paying attention to that map.
Right.
So someone always had that map out. Okay, now we're here. We're at this place. Now we go to this next place. And as we go, they look and they say, okay, well, that's that lake. That's this. There's always kind of a navigator. There's always somebody there paying attention to where we were the whole time. I never once felt in danger up there of getting lost. That never occurred to me and never once occurred to me.
Yeah.
And you're in the middle of nowhere with nothing but a compass.
Right.
And a paper map. And this is years before there was GPS, right?
Yeah, and
years
there's not before, even like motors allowed up there.
Years before there was GPS. So you didn't even have like, you know, where people would say, oh, well, why not just open Google Maps? That shit didn't exist. Like there was no smartphones. There was no, this was in the early 90s. So there's no smartphones. There's no nothing.
Right.
And you just are a paper map. And I didn't feel in danger there. It's just that these people who just like want, I just don't understand the unpreparedness of it all just makes me fucking angry about it. I'm just like, how did you get in the woods in the first place? I'm mad at you because of that.
But, you know, thank you. Because here's the thing. Like you and I are very different people. You have an unerring sense of natural direction. You do. I can't imagine you being lost. I think I could blindfold you, put your head on a fucking baseball bat.
I have a good sense.
Spin you around, dump you in Siberia, and you'd be like, "I can get us home."
I'm okay at it.
I have no sense of direction. I don't know where I'm at right now. I have no idea. Most of the time, I have literally just, I have no sense. It's a little better as I've gotten older, but I don't have a very good natural sense of direction. I've got north, south, east, and west down now, but I didn't until like my 30s.
Sure.
You know, like, and I if you put me in the woods, I know I could get very easily lost. So you got to know that about yourself.
You just got to know it.
And you got to be like, all right, if I was going to go in the woods, especially if I was going to go in the woods alone and do some camping alone, I'd be like, all right, I'm willing to do that.
Yeah.
But I'd have a sat phone. I'd have a GPS that was different than my phone's GPS in case.
Yeah.
I would have redundant systems of navigation for sure. I would be a fucking crazy person. I would carry an extra like 6 pounds of things because I'm
You'd
not
have like
get
a whole
lost.
Sherpa on your back.
I would, but genuinely, I would. When I go cycling on a path, I have GPS. I have a purpose-made cycling GPS computer and I have the GPS on my phone, both working at the same time. Because like there's a few places and I'm like, I'm not going to get lost. Like I know what's going to happen tonight. It's not Tom gets lost.
Yep.
That's not.
Yep.
You put me in the woods.
Yeah.
I'm bristling with GPS. I'm all GPS. I'm wearing a suit made.
You have all those little fold out antennas.
Right.
That popping out of you.
Yeah. I got cancer of everything. All of them.
You are 5'2".
Who goes in the woods and has to make up a bear circled me like a shark story? Reuters, Kosovo's so awash with fake euro coins, they're accepted as payment now.
I love the resignation.
I love that too.
The resignation in that title is the best. You know, what's so funny is in the United States, like they're talking about how they were trying to test them, right? They're testing them to see after a while. And then they're just like, fuck it. We don't even care. We're just going to accept them as payment. I will say this. In the United States, no one would ever try to do that with coins. I can't imagine trying to do that with coins because nobody carries coins and nobody cares about coins because they're all under a dollar here.
Right.
So a dollar is the smallest paper unit we have. And anything under that is the change unit. There are no, at least commonly tradable, more than a dollar or dollar coins. They don't exist, right? So there are dollar ones, but they're
nobody
rare.
Uses them.
They're very
nobody
rare.
Nobody uses them as regular currency.
So most of the other like coin currency we get, like when we were in other countries, especially, you know, when you're in Great Britain or when you're in any Australia. Place that has the euro or Australia, they start giving you like $20 coins.
Dude,
and you're like, what the fuck, man? What am I going to do with a car? I don't want a fucking heavy money. Give me a light money. And they're like, no, man. Here's your $5 worth of coins. And you're like, I don't want a fucking jingle when I walk. Dude, I would like a paper money, please. And so all the time.
I feel like a gumball machine.
I literally just pretend. There's so many times where you're just like, I just want to throw this. And you're like, but that's like $25 worth of coins.
Dude, I you walk around, like, after a day of, like, walking around and having some drinks and going to restaurants and doing all this, like, your pockets are bulging with fucking metal. Like, I feel like Sylvia Plath walking into the sea.
And the problem is that in the States, it's kind of, it's sort of frowned upon if I walk in and I say, how much is that? And they say, it's $2.99. And I pull out a pocket full of change and I pay for it.
No, yeah, that's
it's frowned on here to pull out a pocket full of change. And so what happens with Americans when they travel is they just take the change and then they don't do anything with it because they feel like an asshole. If somebody's like, that'll be a 20 quid or whatever they say. And you're like, sure, here's a quid. Here's another quid. Here's another quid. You keep giving them the things. You would feel like a total. So you always pay with paper and you always take the coins and then you wind up like a fucking Michelin man of coins.
Yeah, I know.
Shaking yourself down the street like Mr. Bojangles.
When Haley and I have traveled internationally, we had this thing where it's like, oh, like we're going to like bring back one coin of every type from the places we go and put them in a jar, just like a little keepsake. But like you come back, you've got all the coins.
Hundreds of coins.
Because you just say exactly what you're describing. Like, I never feel confident counting out the coins. And also, like, I have to look at the coin.
Yeah, I don't know what one is. Lettering. Right? The difference is, like, you know, if you live there, you're like, sure, I know what a 50 is.
Right. You know,
I know what a 50 is. And they're all, and we do them where they're sized. They go down. Sometimes they don't over there. So they'll be like a big one versus a small one. I'm like, what the fuck is happening?
It'll be like multicolored. Like, it's got like a gold insert around like a
gold insert. The other one, it's smaller than the one that's full gold and bigger. And you're like, why is that
happening? And I can't see anything. So I'd have to stand there like reading this fucking coin that might be like rubbed raw.
Jesus.
And I'm like, no, that you hand me that coin.
I might as well get out a scale and an abacus and pay you.
What you gave me was a souvenir.
Yeah, that's a souvenir
coin.
That's a souvenir coin.
Yep. Everything costs whatever the rounding up is.
That is exactly my experience with everything money. Yes. That's why I love now. And this wasn't the same when I was younger. But nowadays, when you walk into a place, it's just pay with a credit card. And there's not, and they love their, at least overseas for me, when I've been recently, they don't have it as much over here, but the tap to pay.
They
love the tap to pay. Yeah. That's all there
That's
is.
That's all it is.
That's
it's
all
great.
There is. It's all tap to pay. And it works perfect every time. Over here, you don't know where to tap. Sometimes you're like, tap to pay. And you look at the thing and you're like, where do I tap it? They're like, I don't fucking know because normally everybody sticks it in there.
Right.
And so the tap to pay for us or the chip, that is sometimes it's on the side. Sometimes it's over here. Sometimes it's in the front. You don't know. Over there, it's like perfect. Every time you fucking wave it near it. It's like, and it works perfect. And so it's amazing. I didn't use a single bit of cash except for to like give tips when I was over there. That's all I used it for. It was perfect. I went over there with money. I went over there, got the money out of my cash station account, got the cash out of my checking account through a cash station, and then used that for tips. And then that's all I ever used the money for. And I paid for everything with credit. Everything.
That's beautiful.
And it was beautiful.
So wait a minute. You went to an international cash station?
Yep.
Is that what you did? You didn't bring American cash and change
it. I didn't bring American cash and change it. No. I went to, with my cash station card, I walked up to their cash station in, because I got some when I was in Scotland.
I've never done that.
And I've got some when I was in, well, I found out, I was doing some reading online and they said the fees are about the same and there's less hassle.
Yeah.
So you might as well just do it. If you're going to get charged, you might as well just get charged by a machine
and it's
that's
like
automatic every time instead of some, because sometimes there's like scams that go along with that stuff where you try to change your money and there's like a big fee that gets added and they take a bunch of big chunkier money. And so instead I just went to my, like a bank. I couldn't find my bank, but I found a bank and was like a reputable bank and I used those.
That's
I was just like, yeah, just use those.
God damn it.
Yeah, and I just did that this time.
I'm gonna do that next time.
It worked out great. It worked out great. I got as much money as I wanted. The fees were minimal and I was perfect. And so I was able to just pay the tips because it's all, whenever you go on like tours and stuff, it's all tips it's that all you tips, need. You know, you got the tip money.
Right.
And you know, you don't want to.
You got to bring just the tip.
You got to give them just the tip, so.
This is from The Guardian. Michigan woman pulled from outhouse toilet after climbing in for Apple Watch.
Okay, so there's a picture, but it's not a picture of her in the toilet. It's just a picture of someone looking at an outhouse. This is one of those, you go to the park and there's a big hole in the ground that they built a shed around.
Yep.
That people shit in.
That you know is full of bugs.
Yeah.
There are flies and bees.
Oh.
You know there are.
Oh.
You know this, that's a desperation shitter.
There's nothing I own. My wife could be in one of those and I'd be like, well, that's gone.
That's what I wanted to talk to you about.
I was like, no, that's
gone. I was going to ask you that question.
That's it. Is there forever. Anything? There's nothing I own.
No.
I don't know my wife. So I'm just like, I want to say that out loud. No, but like there's nothing I own. Like my house could fall into a sinkhole into one of these. And I would just say, okay, I'm moving.
That's gone.
Guess
now.
I'm moving.
Yeah.
I don't have that anymore.
If it was possible to drop your 401k, I'd be like, guess I don't retire.
I'm working until I die, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be like,
the American way.
That's it. I don't know what to say. Look, I have an Apple Watch and I love my Apple Watch. It's great. And there have been most of my life that I've been broke.
Yeah.
And if I lost something like an Apple Watch, I'd be like, I just don't get to have that anymore. And if I dropped it in an outhouse shitter, I'd be like, well, I don't even want it anymore.
I would 100%. Hook up to it and make it do farting sounds while it was under there. I would like call it on
make
the
it
microphone and be like, hey, get me out of here. Hey, get me out of here.
Me,
I'd be like, hey, how you doing?
If you fished it out.
Yeah, what are you going to do with it?
You now have
your watch has hepatitis C.
For real?
Yeah, like I don't want that.
If there was an Apple, here's another way to think about it. If there was an Apple Watch on the ground, and 40 people shit on it. And then you put a sign on it and said, free Apple Watch.
I've seen this video before.
Would you go get that Apple
Watch? I've been in some dark places on the internet and I've seen this video before. So yeah, no, man, I wouldn't. You wouldn't take it for free, right? You wouldn't take it for free.
Right.
Understandably, you want to try to do, like, I don't know what you do. Like, how do you sanitize that watch so it goes back on your
There's
hand?
Never going to be a time I wouldn't look at that watch and be like, mwah, mwah. You know what I mean? I'd be like,
you're constantly like catching it. I mean, it raises it in your throat every time. You're just like,
If my wedding ring fell in the shit like that, if my wedding ring, I know you don't wear a ring.
I know.
I wear my ring. My ring is important to me. If my wedding ring fell in the outhouse shitter, I'd be like, I guess I have to lie about getting a new ring, you know? Like, I would get a ring and some sandpaper and scratch it up a little bit, you know?
I was fighting a bear in the woods.
Right.
I got lost. I was fighting a bear.
There's no way.
Yeah.
There's nothing. I'm like, because again, if there was a fucking wedding ring and then like somebody put it in a 5-gallon Home Depot bucket and like 40 people shit on it.
That's my fetish now.
And then somebody stuck a sign, like angled and like hanging out of the poo bucket that says,
this ring is the shit.
I wouldn't oh, I'll go bobbing for that ring.
Great ring. It wouldn't be your precious. That's for sure.
Holy shit.
It could stay in Mordor.
This lady fell in.
Yeah, man.
She fell in.
Yeah, man. You're digging.
What fresh hell?
Here's the thing though. Like, I feel at that point, you just stay in there. Yeah.
Here's the
You're
thing.
You're like, you know what? This is my life now. I'm just going to be down here with my Apple Watch. Every time somebody comes here, I'm going to be like, hey!
Hey! Here's the thing. You know how, like, if that Apple Watch, if you, there's no way you could sanitize it where you'd ever want to wear it again. If I fell in a public outhouse, there's no way my wife would ever look at me and be like, I'll kiss him.
What would you?
There's no way. She would throw me away. She'd be like, you're gross now. You're contaminated.
What could you do to yourself? What could you do to yourself to look at yourself and be like, I'm not contaminated?
Dude, would you come out all blue? Like, it'd be like a poo Smurf?
It's totally different blue. Number. It's 100% different. Yeah.
I'm poopy Smurf.
Oh, God.
It's so gnarly.
It's Gagamel. All right, we got to show a picture this time.
Yeah, this is from...
Let's show the picture. So this is... this is...
Sonagi.co.uk?
Yeah, so here's the byline.
Glowing skin, new face. The passport hurdle in Korea's beauty tourism.
This is a very strange story, Tom. Did you want to read it or?
Yeah, I'll just read the top portion.
Okay.
South Korea's plastic surgeons are renowned for their expertise, drawing visitors from neighboring countries like China and Japan. However, this expertise has led to an unexpected dilemma for some of these international visitors. When these individuals are ready to return home after their procedures, they sometimes find that they no longer resemble their passport photos.
I think this is an advertisement. So here's what I think. I think this is an advertisement because if you read the last paragraph.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Read the last paragraph.
Korean skincare has long been the gold standard in the beauty world with its 10-step routines, innovative products, and emphasis on hydration and prevention.
I think it's a.
This feels very much like a.
Feels very much like
The results will be so amazing.
So amazing that they have to. They created a press release to send out that said, by the way, there's a beauty tourism.
I don't believe this at all.
At 100% looks like a Snapchat filter over like actually somebody getting work done.
Yeah, man. Look, she does not look like somebody who had plastic surgery. She looks like somebody who doesn't have any scars or discoloration or bruising.
Bruising,
like,
yeah.
Plastic surgery, it's not like you get plastic surgery and then you wake up and you're healed from major surgery.
Yeah, no, you just don't snap your fingers and you're fine.
Right.
Yeah.
Like if you have plastic surgery at such a level that the fucking AI is like, oh no, man. Who are you?
Well, and
you're going to be a swollen mess. You're going to look like fucking dark
people,
man.
If you see these two people, which, you know, you can't even say that they're the same person. I don't think they are. But I genuinely feel like one is a Photoshop or a filter of some kind. I don't feel like that's the same. Like, there's no way that you took this person's face and made it into that person's face. It's impossible. I don't even think the guys on Botched could do that. I don't think the guys from Nip Tuck, and that's like a fantasy.
That's a fake show.
Fantasy. Yeah. They couldn't even do that. Have you ever watched that Botched show?
Oh, yeah. I've watched like a lot of that.
My wife watches that show, and I'll come into the room, and sometimes, lots of times it's just people who have had bad surgeries that come in and then they have to get them redone. Right. And it's probably all fake or whatever. I don't know. I don't know how real any of it all is. But the people who come in that want to get more plastic surgery that are very, very done a lot of plastic surgery already, and then they won't treat them because they think they've done too much. Uh-huh. There's a lot of those people who there's one every episode. And they'll come on and they look so not human anymore.
They look uncanny valley.
Genuinely not human. Yep. There's a level of plastic surgery you can do to your body to stop looking like a person.
Yep. Absolutely,
and
man.
There's some people on that show where they do so much with like their lips and then their face is like pulled back really far and then their neck has been like pushed in and then their butt is like up on their fucking back, like a humpback. And they've done so much crazy work and they come in and you're just like, what on earth? Why did you take, like, I understand getting like the first step or the second step or the third step, but what led you to the 70th step to be like, this is the operation that's going to change it all?
Yeah, man. It's like the surgical equivalent of the people who are like, now I'm going to get my eyeballs tattooed. And you're like, all right, look, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. You get a tattoo, you get two or three, you feel good. You like the way they look. But like at some point you got to be like, all right, I'm going to get my penis tattooed on my face. And you're like, all right, now that is just too much. That's too much. You don't look like people anymore.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for this week. The funny show for this week. We'll be back on Monday with a regular show. And this upcoming Thursday, remember, we're going to be doing a long form. And if you're a $2 patron, Tom's going to read that long form article to you. So patrons, pay attention. You should have that in your inbox probably over the weekend sometime. All right.
That's going to wrap it up for this week. We're going to leave it like we always do with the Skeptic's Creed.
Credulity is not a virtue. It's fortune cookie cutter, mommy issue, hypno-Babylon bullshit. Couched in scientician, double bubble, toil and trouble, pseudo-quasi-alternative, acupunctuating, pressurized, stereogram, pyramidal, free energy, healing, water, downward spiral, brain deadpan, sales pitch, late night info-docutainment. Leo, Pisces, cancer cures, detox, reflex, foot massage, death and towers, tarot cards, psychic healing, crystal balls, Bigfoot, Yeti, aliens, churches, mosques, and synagogues, temples, dragons, giant worms, Atlantis, dolphins, truthers, birthers, witches, wizards, vaccine nuts, shaman healers, evangelists, conspiracy, doublespeak, stigmata, nonsense. Expose your signs. Thrust your hands, bloody, evidential, conclusive. Doubt even this.
The opinions and information provided on this podcast are intended for entertainment purposes only. All opinions are solely that of Glory Hole Studios, LLC. Cognitive Dissonance makes no representations as to accuracy, completeness, currentness, suitability, or validity of any information, and will not be liable for any errors, damages, or butthurt arising from consumption. All information is provided on an as-is basis. No refunds. Produced in association with the local Dairy Council and viewers like you.